episode 29 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Roger Kirby, and with me this evening is Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Good evening, Roger. Round two, as it were. Draft day two for us. Got 4 minutes 50 until the inaugural Dynasty League draft. Having a few technical issues this evening with the recording, so bear with us once more, as it seems all the time. But how are you doing this evening?
Tired. I've just woke up, so it's my granddad's 80th birthday next week, and he is away, but we squeezed in around the golf with me and my bro, so that was excellent. 3:55 a.m. on a Monday. that's Anthony drafting. That is just unbelievable to be up at that time. Hats off to you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. So, I'm also a little bit tired after our late evening last night. And I've just come off the end of a 16-team PPR draft, which finished only 10 minutes ago. That went on with 90 seconds a pick.
Ooh, how did that go?
I'm pretty pleased with my team, in fact. Where was I picking? Picking second overall, so managed to get Lev Bell there. And when I look down my lineup, I'm pretty pleased. Got Bell, Jordan Matthews, Emmanuel Sanders. I've doubled down on QBs with Stafford, and I got Bradford later on. So, not too bad overall. Second RB position is a lot of third down back, Spiller, Woodhead, and then Sankey and Oliver. So, a little bit weak there maybe, but overall not bad. And that is the Around the NFL Go Get My Lunch Listeners League, arranged by Nick Fortier. So it's going to be fun to be part of that. But we are back here in our third draft for the two of us.
Yes, with 2 minutes 30 to go, so at the moment we have 8 out of a possible 12.
Yes.
Which is okay.
A couple more.
It would be nice to get a couple more for auto drafts. Potentially these guys may have, auto picked and set their draft lineup, so you never know. But as I say, it would be good to get those people in. I mean, especially after, apologies, that is my dog. He's downstairs. I'm in the office upstairs. And I'm really struggling with Mr. Sniffs this evening. So apologies, maybe that's because I've woken up, or maybe it's a little bit of the grass on the golf course this afternoon. So yeah, we got our, just before the draft starts, we had our draft grades, which was interesting, kind of kicking off at sort of 1 o'clock, sort of UK morning time last night as we were trying to get to sleep. I know it was pretty wide and I really struggled. I think I got to sleep about 3 o'clock in the end.
Yeah, did drag on when you end up getting pumped a little bit after the draft and it's so difficult to try and go to sleep, particularly when we take it seriously down to the last rounds, getting the right kicker and defence. Some people kind of just let it flow towards the end, but it seems our drafts have been quite active and competitive and well attended, so that's been good. But yeah, coming out with a interesting couple of draft grades. I've got a D and a C plus.
Yes, and I had I think it was a C minus and a C. It was odd because I came away really, really happy. So there you go. Oh, we've got another.
The Broncos.
The Broncos
has arrived. I'm just trying to remember who everybody are to their team name. So that's another Brit, I believe. I'll put it up in a second. But here we go. Number one didn't make it. Sharkies. I think that is Anthony's mate down under. So that's why he didn't make it. But oh, he's got luck. He's got his settings obviously adjusted, which is good to know, even though he's not here. Dynasty is a new thing for us, and it's...
Yeah, we tried it last year, and unfortunately, it didn't really work out because it got disbanded after a year, which kind of defeats the object. Lacey's gone now too.
Very interesting. Tony picking two.
It's funny how with the Dynasty, how potentially this changes the way that you draft, and maybe that's the reason why luck has gone at one.
Yeah, I see some Dynasty rankings out there, and it's quite unusual compared to a standard redraft league. I've seen various receivers have more higher rankings, it seems. And luck generally at the moment is outranking Rodgers. It depends how long you're in it for, I guess. But Anthony's gone with Antonio Brown. And it is the silent assassin on the clock. And you are picking six.
Yes, and I have a big, big decision because I'm looking at Jamal Charles and I'm thinking, long term, is that a good pick? Dynasty wise.
Six. Stephen took Peterson at five.
Even though it's Dynasty, I'm going to take Charles. So I'm going to do a little bit of recon for later on in the draft.
Now, James is picking seven. Gronk, if you're horny, the same team name as his championship winning side in the Hall of Lame, who attended the draft last night. And then I'm picking eight. Do I go Rodgers?
Well, I mean that's the big, that's the question, isn't it? I mean,
I have the guy that I have at the top of my draft queue, picking at this stage. I'm looking at the receivers, to be honest, at this point. The likes of Bryant, Julio, they are.
They're going to be around. Studs. Yeah, they're going to be around for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. So that's where I'm looking. James has taken Hill. So there's Lynch, Forte, Gronk, Rogers available in terms of the rankings. But I'm going receiver. Julio.
I don't really think you have a choice though.
Yeah. I like everything about him, and that the offensive change still could work for him, and compared to the other options there.
Ooh, I like Forte. Where's Forte went?
Remember when we drafted last year, both of us ended up thinking a little bit too far down the road and almost forgot about year one.
Yeah, that was a big, big thing. Bruce taking Tony Romo at 12. What the deuce?
This is very interesting. And Gore. So Bruce going for the reverse of drafting young, but we love it all the same. Bit of interest and different tactics. So I got to focus now. I'm back on the clock after.
Oh yes, you are.
A deflated footballs. Who is Kenny? It's good to see a Colts and a Patriots fan in here fighting over their balls. So that's good. I was just about to ask where are you looking next, but I'm ahead of you, so probably end up stealing them.
Yeah, I have two, maybe three, that I could take that I'd be very, very happy with.
T.Y. Hilton.
Really?
That leaves the door open for a 1-2 receiver.
Yes.
Double down for myself.
Double down all on.
Or,
yeah.
Is it, the running back options at this stage are too much to reach on it.
Well, I'm definitely going to get one of the three, so Des Bryant, Odell Beckham, or AJ Green. There we go. So, we are now just waiting.
This is gone.
This is gone.
I hate picking Cowboys, but there we go. Man from San Antonio, Tony, rather disappointed with that on the message boards. I won't repeat it because that just requires more work for me.
After yes.
Cutting, I think, 5 bleeps into the last episode. None of them from my lips, I might add.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, given the fact there's only 2 of them on the podcast.
Yes, indeed. Very subtle little comments.
Were they? It seems like an age ago.
So, no one taking Brady. Here we are.
Okay.
On the clock.
So, there we go. Nice and simple.
Beckham went before you. So you've got Green.
Yep. Happy with
that. Demarius goes next. All the big receivers have now been taken.
But the concern with Demarius is that the quarterback situation there is more unstable than the Bengals. But yeah, I mean it's yeah.
So we're nearly to the end of round 2. Quite. I don't think I've ever been able to get James and Brian in the first 2. Rounds, so it's quite unusual and different, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah, that could leave you short of the old running back situation.
Yeah, I can see myself going rather young now in that position, which is good in the long haul, but rather unknown. And the interesting thing was I was just doing a 16-team draft, and therefore you've got an extra 4 times 60 picks in total than our 12-team ones, and suddenly those rounds kind of 8 more like to 12. A lot of those guys you thought you're having a little deep sleep and reach on and punts on, but they were all going because more players were doing that, and it dramatically changes when my second pick was a. Because I picked 2, you're picking 31 for your second pick.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
So the first kind of young rookie running back's gone in Yeldon, top of round 3. And Anthony trying to stay awake down under. Is on the clock. And then you'll be 2 picks away, pick 30.
Yeah, so I am before you, so I have one of my sort of boys that I've drafted in all the drafts so far, lined up.
From your stable, my money's on Jordan Matthews.
You would be correct.
I just don't like these higher rated kind of running backs at this stage.
Oh, that's a shock. he was taken.
Stephen has taken in from you. That's Stephen with a PH, not to be confused with myself.
Oh, that changes stuff. Okay, so we could draft him. Okay, so
it's just quite. I'm trying to work out.
I'd take him. That gives me a potential advantage there, but I don't think so. Draft for the future. Okay, so Brandon Cooks there, and drafting one for the future. I could have drafted Alshon Jeffrey. I have a suspicion that the Bears are going to struggle potentially long term.
Yeah, a bit of change there. Some people predicting them to be one of the worst teams this year, but that's partly because they're changing schemes. A bit of unknowns. I'm looking at some young running backs at this stage, but also trying to keep an eye on long term. This could be a bit of a reach, but he's highly rated for the long term, so am I going to do it? Yes. I'm going rookie, coming in off an ACL.
Nice pick up with Gurley.
For the future. And we have a chat on the message boards about AFL. Not my kind of a sport, but
this will get them going.
I was about to say the exact same things. It just seems AFL, with some very bizarre way to try and make use of a good piece of cricket turf during the winter, but there we go. So, we are in round four.
And somebody's taking Chaz.
Wow.
Chaz Johnson. Oh, Lamar Miller's off the board.
Keeping an eye on the quarterback situation. And I feel like a big part of me thinks anything longevity, age, quarterback situations, unless you go for a real rookie, you could get somebody like Wilson, but something about him I just don't trust.
The fact that he's not a real human being, maybe? He's the most false human being on the planet. It's horrendous.
Am I getting by? But it makes sense at this stage.
Yeah, long term, it makes perfect sense.
I'm going to have to play him every week and I regret it. So, Kenny did just take Stafford before me. Wanted to try and get a quarterback at about this stage, probably. It's interesting trying to work out exactly how all our players will take on this dynasty option. And we have James on the clock. So the message board chat about AFL has gone a little out of hand. Tony's lost. And Roger is on the clock.
On the clock. How
Amari
how
Cooper
be,
has just gone off the board.
How can I still be on the clock? How can he still be there? He was there yesterday and I didn't take him in round four. Jimmy Graham. Hmm. And I expect him to have a big, big year.
He is.
So I'm going to draft Jarvis Landry.
One of the dynasty ranking sites, we have Graham ranked 20th overall.
I just don't know about him, you know what I'm saying?
That's a very good young receiver. Morris is gone. Landry went to yourself. Cooper went before. This is where the older chaps like Stewart, Breeze and Manning might sit a while. And there goes Jimmy Graham. He goes down under to the compromise and under him. We are not quite sure how people will take this as a podcast listening presentation. Apologies for some of the silence, but we obviously have got a bit of a job to do as well.
Yeah.
The future kind of depends on this moment. So we may cut it and come back and check in with it later. Make it more of a better listening spectrum so we can concentrate on the message board and this important draft.
Welcome back to the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. That was a thoroughly enjoyable draft. We're sat here recapping this on a Thursday night with the big game looming upon us now. How are you feeling about the draft?
It was fun. It was long. 25 rounds. Started taking punts probably about round 6. There seemed to be so much depth in a way. You just keep taking shots here, there and everywhere. But I'm pretty pleased with my team. I don't know what you feel about your team.
Yeah, relatively so. It's those middle rounds again where I think I can make a case either way that it's good, bad, indifferent. Running backs are a little bit of an issue. That second RB position with Randall and Matthews and, will Ridley come back? That's a potential flyer. I have a feeling that he might come back and do some good things. I've taken a few flyers there at the end and I managed to stash Julius Thomas, who I think long-term will be good. So I'm relatively happy. I've been disappointed not to get Bradford. Smith's, I think he's had a good year, career year. But whether that's going to be translated to fantasy, I'm not sure.
I mean, I really like from your team just the fact you've got one stud running back, one stud receiver set in stone with Charles and Green. You can always just rely on those two week in, week out. It's always fun to have. So, yeah, I think, as you said, the middle rounds we've had a bit of an issue with the other leagues about where to go in kind of rounds 4 through 8 almost. And what is good value there, but it's almost with this league, it was because you had so many rounds, you almost had the freedom to go where you wanted and reach a bit more because everybody actually started getting the players they want and reaching a bit all over the place. But still, there was some
without a doubt,
pickups later on.
There was definitely an element of that going on, and I think when I look over mine, took a bit of a flyer on, someone like Ricardo Lockett, Jeff Janis potentially, who might come in, whether his snaps are now going to be taken obviously by James Jones is an issue. But, you can afford in a league like this, and you're going to have a little bit of roster churn, but, people like Sammy Coates, Philip Dorsett, I think Josh Hill will come eventually good, and David Johnson, the running back at Arizona, draft a little bit for next year just as much as this one.
Yeah, and I think the exciting thing about this Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League is we've already had some trades kicking off in week one, and a kicker. So it's a good
shocking,
active league already. And there is another trade which will be finalised tomorrow.
You're involved in that, I believe.
I am involved. Tony approached me straight, within half an hour, I think it was, of the draft, desperate to get his man Dez, and I was so happy that I had Dez and Julio as a 1-2 receiver options, obviously two studs. But my running backs are really relying on the emergence of Gurley, so I was looking at his running back options, and then the news that Foster's starting to come around quite quick meant that there's a trade happening for Bryant. I originally posted a rather steep price for him. I wanted Foster, Cobb, and his first pick next year. He didn't accept that one. We took away the draft pick, but then it ended up being, you see, Watkins and Foster for Bryant. Part of me thinks that's almost giving away what is probably the best receiver in the game to many people, but Watkins has got a lot of upside going forward. The only issue there is the offense he's playing.
Yeah, the Bills need to sort their quarterback situation out.
But to get a Foster for the next couple of years at least is really big for me, so that's going to help me. So that was fun to do, Tony. We're all drafted up, ready to go. We've got action starting tonight. I think we wanted to also just touch on the efforting by our man down under, Anthony, and his league newsletter.
Yes, and that's the clicking that you can hear in the background there. It's me just pulling up the newsletter, which was a fairly enjoyable read, I have to say.
Yeah, great idea by Anthony to try and keep our league very active. Obviously, we've got this podcast, which mainly will cover that league and our other couple. So it's just a good way of interacting and getting another avenue for people who maybe aren't always online looking at the comments on the fantasy site, etc. But some fun stuff on there. Any highlights from the newsletter yourself?
Yeah, I mean the bit about my shaved body did make me chuckle, especially given the fact that I've been known to shave the body now and again when I'm on holiday, there's an element of truth there, yeah.
Amazing. I'm not sure about the tanning lotion there.
No, I mean, not so much tanning lotion, but there's definitely a copious amount of sunblock to make sure that I don't burn. I'm not a big fan of burning, I have to say, and given the fact that last time I was out on holiday, a place in Europe called Fuerteventura, I was stark, and have you got the old beeper ready?
It's ready.
Stark naked, I was going to break out into I'm so vain, you probably wondered about you, but I won't bore the listeners with my dulcet tones.
No, and I could drop a clip of that song there, but we clearly don't have enough money to pay royalties on using real music on this podcast. But any contributions to our PayPal account would be greatly appreciated. You can find them on the podomatic.com pipe and slippers link. On the website there, if you would like to contribute to keep this thing going, but no, the newsletter's been great, and I think Anthony thinks rather much of himself.
Yes,
he's a specimen, he says. Anyway, that's some good fun, and almost a better place to put that type of language. Some of it. Not really conducive to the airwaves, so.
No, I try and keep it to a minimum. My language is bordering on appalling, so yeah. There we go.
I think we should move on to the season.
Sounds like a plan.
We're obviously recording Thursday evening our time in the UK. We have about 3-4 hours till the league kicks off in Foxborough.
Are you getting up?
I'm going to try and do it.
So am I.
Sleep patterns almost on Eastern time at the moment, which is causing issues in the morning. I'm struggling to get up, so we need to get some sleep in before to allow the time during. But aiming to get up and watch.
I am working from home tomorrow, so that gives me an extra hour's sleep. So in the sense that I don't need to get up and make the 45-minute commute in the car, so that's a winner. But obviously I do have to work, and I have to peek back the curtain of my fantastic existence as a business analyst. I have an end-to-end design document that I need to produce tomorrow.
Some Friday.
Just so excited, overwhelmed.
So, less talking about that, and more talking about football season ahead of us.
Let's do this.
We were going to look at some kind of go around the divisions, whiz through them.
Yeah.
Just so, touch on where we think things may fall.
Do you want to start in the AFC?
Yes, that's alphabetically correct.
Let's start in the East.
That's geographically closest to us, so let's do it. The Patriots to win the division again?
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I just think that in the end they will find a way. I think the fact that the front seven is slightly more feisty. Obviously there is concerns about the back end. There's concerns about the O-line. But these are... The O-line concerns were there last year. They don't have a group of, you know, what you would consider superstar wide receivers. They have the superstar tight end. And I think Everton, again, is going to go very much through Gronk. But the cautionary thing that doesn't put them for me, whilst I think they will win the division, if I can get my words out, I don't see them in the Super Bowl because I think against the very, very good teams, I think that back end is going to come and, you know, and haunt them.
Yeah, I like their feisty defense, as you say, but it's a division of really, really strong defenses. And I almost think that East Division this year is going to be so competitive that a lot of games may be split, that the Patriots may win this division. They quietly go about their business, but it might only be a 10 and 6.
I can't see them being one of the top two seeds.
So the other teams in the division, the Bills and the Dolphins, are looking very competitive, is almost the best way to describe it, that they could all easily be around the wild card type position at the end of the day. I think the weak link is really the Jets, but that comes down to more their offense. But their defense could be really quite epic.
I don't know yet what it's going to be because, you know, there is weapons out there with Marshall, Decker, Cumbie.
Fitz Magic can get some done. Some magic done. So.
Cumbie. AFC North.
Moving up to the North. I think when I look across the entire division, I do just want to say the Browns are looking like the bargain basement worst of the lot this year by far in terms of what they've got coming into this season. I don't see them being as competitive as they were last year.
I think it'll be a reset button again. In the summer, unfortunately, and less about what Pettin's done and more about the fact that roster just stinks. Yeah.
My view on winning that division is that the Bengals will quietly go about their job, get their business in order.
I have the Bengals because I feel they're a more balanced team, but I also have the Steelers coming out of that division as well.
Yeah, they obviously have an explosive offense when all their parts are firing, so... but the Bengals for me, it's make or break to get past that first wild card weekend, and they could easily be a top seed this year. I feel to get that playoff bye.
No, I have concerns about them being a top seed. I mean, you know. I think because there is three really strong sack teams in that league, again, it's the league kind of cannot be, the division kind of cannibalizes itself.
Very true.
Move on to the South. I mean, I guess that's a, a one-word answer and almost skip on. But go for it.
Oh, yes. Colts, one-word answer. Second part of it, though, is I like the Texans to be getting close to, if not getting a wild card spot. There's a lot about that franchise that's going in the right direction.
That is
the defense.
I quite like them, but I think there's a little bit of, you watch Hard Knocks and sometimes you buy into some of the narratives that you see on there as well. And Bill O'Brien is one hell of a likable guy.
Yeah, but the Colts, obviously, that offense is strong, but I really have reservations about that defense making them getting past.
And we spoke before about we think that they'll get run all over on in the playoffs again and come up short. And I think it'll be a reset button again. I think it will be a sort of similar to what they did when they kicked when they had the reset button. I can't remember. Back when Peyton won his first title, they moved someone on and brought someone else in. It was Dungy who they brought in, wasn't it? But I can't remember who they got rid of. So, but I think that's going to be the case again, is that Pagano will be out and they'll look to reinvigorate something. And I think Grigson will probably end up also paying the price potentially, or he might get another crack at it. I don't think he's built a particularly balanced roster, but that's just a personal thing. The West,
I think I would love to say the Chargers would be competitive, being a Bolts fan, but I think it's too soon and too early for Gordon to make an impact that they would need competitive.
There's some legitimate concerns about his ability to see the hole at the moment, and, all the stuff pre-draft was very positive, right? So there's no reason to think that that won't come, but I think, as you say, it's probably a bit too early.
Yeah, and then obviously it was a very competitive division again last year with the Chargers, Chiefs and Broncos all having good records, but it's the Chiefs for me that could take the division, and I'm putting the Broncos in a wild card slot.
Yeah, so you can flip that for me. I think that I think you tweeted out on one of your 5 million tweets was popping up on my phone today at work. But it was a valid point, was that, the QBX system lends itself great to that that defense in many regards. So the ball control, and I think if the Broncos can make it click and get a few quick early wins and scores on the board, that defense is going to go after teams.
Yeah, I mean, all the questions will be Manning, but I'd love to see him continue and play well all through the winter months. Whether old man time and old man winter are against him may be a factor, but I'd love to see him almost ride off and take another title. Kind of the gut saying that might not happen.
I completely agree with you. I think it's his style of play does not lend itself to that, weather and environment that you have to play in. I just think that's the way it is. But those would be my six. We've pretty much mirrored each other there. The only thing is that you've got the Texans in over...
Pittsburgh. You'd probably, take a Steelers. So. I think the fact that, as we say, that AFC North can be quite competitive and they can split a lot of games, so it's almost potentially easier for the Texans to pick up some wins against the Jags and Titans and have a better record despite not being a better team.
9-7 last year without being a better team. Into the NFC East.
Okay, in the East. I kind of think the Eagles have that one sewn up already. Clear favourites for that division. I'm going to throw, potentially, the Giants as a wild card contender in there. For me, that offence... The weapons around Eli's good. He's learning that system and improving all the time.
That defense is you'd be hard pressed to name many players on that defence.
Yeah, the kind of the best player on the defence has missing fingers and is now technically a free agent and could go anywhere because he's not signed back up with them. So, yeah, I know the defence is shaky, but in terms of that division,
yeah, I mean,
I don't like the other factors and the other things going on with the Cowboys.
The Eagles winning it, but I do have the Cowboys coming out of there as a wild card. I think that they will find a way of maybe not hitting the highs that Murray had last year, but I think we'll find a way with a with the running backs that they have of making it work. As I don't think it will be as consistent and as good as what they had with Murray last year, but I think they will find a way. And I think the fact that by all accounts, Randy Gregory is, seems to be getting his head screwed on and in the right place. You know, as much as I'm loath to say it, Greg Hardy is a good signing and will be coming back. If they can, come out of the first four games 2-2, I think they'll be relatively happy with the players that they've got to come back.
Yeah, I think that defense is going to be stronger with that front. I think my reservations are about Romo, sorry, Tony, for hating on your man, but I really worry about him. He talks all the time, he's trying to strengthen around his back, do all these extra training and gym sessions. And
glass back.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, you feel. And you don't want a team to obviously struggle through injury like that, but that could easily happen, so... that's why I have reservations about them.
Into the north?
Yes.
I have two coming out.
Yes, I have two.
I think you can guess who is going to win that division even without Jordy Nelson.
Well, I have two coming out, and I'm just throwing out, it may be a bit random, and I've lost my train of thought with these millions of tweets I've been sending out today. But I don't have the Packers making it. My thought is that Nelson is going to be that much of an important loss for them. And it's more the fact I really like the way the Lions and the Vikings are both shaping up.
No, I will take... If you're willing to put a high-octane something on the board, I'm thinking it's a high-octane salad, given the fact that I've got a reputation now to live up to as some health freak.
Yes, indeed. Maybe I'll treat you to a gym session or PT session.
Oh, it's a GGN.
Or some new razors or some wax treatments.
You need a shave, actually. Not on my face. Like, it's got a little bit out of control. Not as bad as yours.
I'm putting the Lions down as division winners. They were very close last year.
The best quarterback on the planet.
I know.
Not going to drive that team to the playoffs.
Sadly, no. I wish he could, but it can't be a one-man team.
You must have a big pair of onions, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Well, the funny thing is, we sat here this time last year, and I remember your picks were, and you picked the Packers to make it, and you almost ended up saying, doesn't actually matter who comes out of the AFC because the Packers are going all the way. It was obviously close. They got to the game up in Seattle. But I think it's just more the fact at some point with a lot of these thoughts, I'm trying to go maybe against the common train of thought for some reason. Just because I want to throw it.
That doesn't make it right, though. Doesn't it? Just because you want to go against conventional. Conventional wisdom is conventional wisdom for a reason.
I know, but I think that's why the NFL is so great, that there's a load of things that could happen each season. You look at it and you could make an argument loads of these teams making it.
The big concern for me with the Packers is that Rodgers hasn't stayed healthy.
Yeah.
You know, he's taken a lot of hits behind the line, and he seems to pick up niggles and stuff, so there is a legitimate concern there. But yeah, it's interesting. The South? Probably the toughest league to kind of to call.
I think the Saints will be a lot more competitive than they were last year. The changes that they're making to the offense and potentially being more of a run-heavy offense with Ingram and Spiller is exciting and could be good for them. The Panthers, I'm not willing to pick them until Cam learns to throw correctly and develop as a QB, despite the fact his weapons are minimal, to say the least. So I am going to throw the Falcons' name into the hat to make it out of that division this year, despite a very bad defense.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with the Panthers on the basis that they have the most continuity of those three other teams. And I agree with your points completely. But my concern is that New Orleans is searching for an identity. The Falcons, you know, I think that the offense will be good because Shanahan has proved that. And I also think that Quinn's going to improve the D, but the pieces do worry me somewhat. And Tampa Bay, you know, got a rookie quarterback behind, again, arguably one of the worst lines. They have some really nice skill players, but you've got a tight hamstring with Evans. And I am not convinced that Lovie Smith's defense works in, 2015.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be another 11-5 type team coming out of this division. It's going to be potentially much the same as last year. And I really like the Panthers' D, and their O-line seems to be more improved and on the up. But I really like the offensive options with the Falcons. There's something about Edward Shanahan there that they could just score at will almost. That's what I'm going for with the Falcons.
Into the West, I guess that's a pretty simplistic one.
It is this year. I mean, they're obviously competitive teams. The Cardinals, very competitive. But I think the Seahawks will get out of that division again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
But that's probably all they're going to do, much like the Patriots. I feel like they can get to the playoffs, but there's something...
There's something rotten at the core at the moment with that, and obviously success brings that because everybody wants to be paid, and I completely agree with their stance with Cam Chancellor, because once you open that box, there ain't no putting it back in.
Yeah, who would be the next on the list to hold out?
Realistically, if they're going to reward anybody with a new contract, surely it's Bennett.
Yeah.
Bennett wasn't very happy, but he turned up. You only have to look at Antonio Brown and what the Steelers did with Brown, where they shifted $2 million next year's salary in, but he showed up.
Yeah.
I think you've got to show up and show a willingness to work. I don't necessarily think a holdout is that, you signed the contract. No one asked you to sign that contract.
Yeah, that's the bizarre thing about the Cam deal, that it's 2 years ago he signed that deal. He can't have thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
That one really. So.
Sign a if you don't like it at the time, sign a 1 year contract or hold out and let them franchise you. I mean, I don't know.
But I do fancy the 49ers to not be as bad as people have been writing them off over the course of the summer with everything that's going on.
I have them 7-6.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously competitive team at their core, so they will be led by Bowman, but as we've said before, we kind of like some of their other pieces on the defense, like Reed, but it's going to take time.
500 is a success this year.
Yeah, particularly when you've got such feisty defenses in your division, and the Rams D, just that looks exceptional, that front.
It does, but Fisher at all. He's, when you check out his record and, the around the NFL boys, obviously, I think it's Seth that goes on about he's bought the media, so to speak, and created the narrative that he actually can coach in the NFL, which
to some level.
So what's your Super Bowl and who's your Super Bowl pick? Let's get that out there and then wrap this baby up.
Well, it's a little bit against the fact that I'm going against the current thinking out there. Of all those teams that we've mentioned, I almost would like to see whether it happens. It's probably another story. But I could see a Eagles-Lions championship game with the Eagles going through to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or the Bengals.
Yeah, I guess.
Silence, but.
I know, there is. I think it would be nice to mix it up and to change some of those narratives on teams. I really can't see past the Packers at the moment. I think that, McCarthy letting go of play calling duties and actually managing the football side of things, the whole holistic, approach to the team, I think is a positive. Rodgers has to stay healthy, but you could say for every single quarterback, I think Nelson is a loss, but I think they will find a way to compensate for that. So I have them, and I was torn, as much as I think the Chiefs will take a wild card spot in the West, I do like them, but I think they have certain limitations, and that O-line does frighten me somewhat. And if Charles goes down, he is a Jenga piece. That whole offense ticks through them. And as much as I have the Bengals coming out of the North, again, the Steelers are another team that I like. And the reason that I have the Bengals coming out really is more to do with the Steelers and some of the issues with Bell early doors. And is it Bryant, the wide receiver?
Suspended as well for the first four.
So they have a few issues like that. And I think the defense will grow over the year. I don't think the defense that you see on week one is not going to be the defense you see in week 16. So I have Packers v Steelers with the Packers winning it.
Excellent. So we can make some propositions on those because we've picked different teams this year. So we will see how it unfolds. And it's going to be a great season either way it goes.
I will. If your 20 year teams wins the Super Bowl, I will lend you my bronzer to make it look fabulous.
Amazing. Does it work on ball patches?
I keep looking at the caffeine shampoo in the shops and keep thinking about sending you one down.
Too late. I delve in last week. Alpecin caffeine shampoo. Here we come. Full head of luscious hair coming back soon.
Yeah. Or maybe you should take the English cricketer Michael Vaughan route or Shane Warne and get some kind of hair transplant or something.
Well, yes, if you would like to contribute, as I mentioned earlier, to our PayPal account, maybe I could fund such procedures. A little bit at my price bracket right now.
Stephen Ripkin hair plugs. /JustGiving.
Kickstarter. Obviously, got to get train of thought back now.
Twitter is always a good start.
Twitter is a good start. Those who have been following at Stephen Rudkin today have been treated to a wonderful array of tweets. Has. Many of them in line with what I've said just now on this podcast. One-liners on every team. Most of it, I think, relates to what I've just said now and less picks, so that's good.
Just had the Rams one through, which is the defensive front is brutal. And top five defense, patience needed for young OL.
Yeah.
Will come good for Gurley in LA.
Yeah, a little extra thought there that they will be moving to LA as well in my prediction, so there we go. You can read all of those at Stephen Rudkin on Twitter. My esteemed colleague is at Roger M. Kirby on Twitter, who is often seen tweeting about his exercising routine, as Anthony made comments on.
Doing pads tonight. Oof.
Pads. Boxing, here we come.
Yeah.
What's in store for tomorrow? Anything?
Spin tomorrow evening at 5:30.
You can find out how that goes on Twitter, Roger M. Kirby. I'm sure the results will be up there.
Yes, they will. I'll post. I may even do a sweaty selfie.
Amazing. With plenty of bronzer.
Just bronzer, just a mascara just dripping down my face.
A couple other housekeeping bits. We have a weekly pick'em group, which we have 10 members of so far. If you go to NFL.com and search for the Pipe and Slippers podcast group, you can join all our picks there and see how we stack up over the course of the season. Good to see a few guys already involved. We've mentioned the Twitter. The podcast Twitter is Pipe_Slippers. And this time, kind of next week, we might be talking about some results and action from all our fantasy leagues.
We'll round up the three leagues. We try and mix it up a little bit and touch on some of the good matchups from across the leagues, and then maybe preview a few of the good matchups that we like, potentially.
Yeah, excited to how this podcast and season evolves going forward. But I think we are about done here for this Thursday night preview.
We are.
Spectacular.
Peyton Manning.
Love it, Dave.
Dear Lord. That's a cracking pick.
Turn out a lot of the others.